Hey guys, how we doing? A few things to cover here first. First of all, I just want to congratulate Mark Berman on his 30-year career here in Houston. I'd like to present him.
Wait.
Jersey, if you could get up here so we can.
Oh my God.
We'll put you in the picture.
Turn around, yeah.
You come here and give number one.
John, you'll love this, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
this will get no air except in the Chronicle.
Smile, Mark.
It's going to be expanding. Let me look over here, a little photo op over here, too, for time.
A little photo op.
You guys both.
Congratulations, Mark. He's a legend in his own mind. No, just kidding.
Also, want to wish Simone Eli, wish her well in Alabama. I don't know if she's here today. Simone, good working with you. I want to just talk about David Quisenberry. I'm not going to take too many questions on that. You know, basically, we believed that David Quisenberry wasn't going to be ready from a health standpoint, to adequately compete this year. So procedurally, in order to gain the roster spot, we made the decision to place him on waivers with the designation of NFI, non-football illness. It is our hope that he'll revert to reserve NFI so he can continue to be a part of our organization, continue his recovery, and fulfill his goal of playing again. I think that's important for everyone to understand. We just felt like there may be a point during the fall, during camp, where he was burning the candle at both ends, so to speak. We want him to fully attack and beat cancer, which he will do, and then get him back on the 90-man roster at some point in 2017. So that's what we hope will happen with putting him on the NFI. You know, other than that, you know, I think we're practicing hard. I think guys are trying to do what we're asking them to do. It's tough and no pads. You don't make a whole lot of judgments during this time of the year other than effort and hustle and things like that. But I think the guys are working hard, so I'll open it up for questions with that.
Bill, in terms of the tight end position and what you've seen from C.J. Fedorowicz, what have you seen from C.J. and his progress as he keeps going on with you guys?
Yeah, he's made a lot of progress, Aaron. I will say this, it's hard for him because he's a padded player, meaning, you know, he's a guy that's, number one, he's a really good blocker. He's become better at blocking over the 2 years that he's been here. And I think one of the things that you've seen him do during this offseason program is get better in the passing game. He's more instinctive. He knows the plays better, and he's a really, really hard worker. But again, you know, for him, his true improvement, his true playing will come in training camp when you put the full pads on.
Bill, obviously you want to run the ball. You got Hopkins. You got all these new receivers. What is your philosophy now toward the tight end, and especially for, say, an undersized guy like the kid from Cal?
Right.
How does he fit in as like more of an H-back?
Right. We have three different types of tight ends right now. You know, we feel we have a Y, which is CJ, which I just described to Aaron as, you know, primarily his role is to be a really good blocker on the edge of the defense for us, but he can help us in the passing game and certain things. Then we have a U tight end, which is what Ryan Griffin is. Right now he's rehabbing his Achilles, and he'll be back. He'll be back out there. Whether he's back out there for OTAs or not, I'm not sure on that yet, but he'll be ready for training camp. And a U is a guy that can do a few different things. You know, he can block in a serviceable way, and then he can really help us in the passing game. The key for Ryan Griffin is going to be health. It's going to be having the ability to be out there all the time once the season starts because he can really help us. And then you have two F-type tight ends, and Anthony Denham, who's been here, and Steven Anderson, who to this point has done a really good job of learning the plays and going out there. And, you know, in a non-padded practice, he's shown us some good things. But, again, the true test will come in training camp. So having those three different types of tight ends helps.
Bill, when it comes to Quisenberry, how difficult of a decision was it for you and Rick to make? And I think following that, just this organization's support of him the last couple of years and what he's also meant to the team and the players. I mean, this has been going on for a couple of years now, the Team DQ campaign, everything you guys have done together.
No, there's a lot that goes into this type of decision, Brian. You know, number one is the person, David, making sure that you're giving him every opportunity to beat cancer, which I believe, you know, we have and will continue to do. Number two is, like you said, what he means to the team. He's an inspiration. I mean, I think it was, he told me this morning, it was 2 years ago today that we sent them in off the practice field, and Cap sent them right over to the medical center, and they discovered that he had cancer 2 years ago. I think it's almost to the day. So, and then there's a selfish reason from a football standpoint that, you know, look, this guy was, I think he was 176th pick a few years ago, and, you know, was getting ready to start for Coach Kubiak, I think, in the first game of the 13th season against San Diego. Broke his foot during that late in that week. This guy was getting ready to play a lot of football. So I think we've got a guy that can play football. So let's give him every opportunity to beat cancer first and then get back to where he can actually get out on the field and possibly compete and help us win.
Did he have a setback health-wise?
No. Okay. No. It was just a matter of thinking about how many treatments he had left relative to August, September, October, you know, in the best interest of him and our team, putting him out there on the practice field. That wasn't going to be able to be done this year, so early in the year especially, to give him a chance to make the team.
How difficult is it? I mean, it'll be 4 years without playing football for him. Can you just speak to kind of the challenge that he's going to face there when he is able to?
I would say, Tanya, that's a good question. There's no precedent for that. You know, I don't know if there's ever been somebody that's been out for 4 years, but if anybody can do it, it's David Quisenberry. This guy's a driven guy. He has a passion for football. This guy has never missed a day other than when he's had to go over and have treatments over at the cancer center. He's been here early, stayed late, helping teammates out, helping in the weight room, working out on his own. So if there's anybody that can come back and play, it's David Quisenberry.
What kind of progress have you seen from Rashard Khalid on the field, and also what he had to do rehabbing from a very tough injury?
He spent a lot of time rehabbing. He's he hurt that thing, that knee in training camp. He's been diligent in being in the training room and rehabbing. I'd say he's a little rusty right now when it comes to playing football, but that's to be expected. You know, when you've been out that long with a knee injury, I think it was better today. He's a great kid, was the captain of his college football team. Football means a lot to him, so I think he'll continue to get better and better.
Coach, what's the advantage of having an F tight end on the field if they don't, I mean, as far in terms of if they're not big blockers, as opposed to having another wide receiver on the field? How important is blocking for the F?
It is. It's part of it. It's definitely part of it. So if you have a guy that can block a bit, it doesn't have to be a dominant blocker, but he can block, you know, adequately. He's a willing blocker is how I like to describe it. And he's really good in the passing game. So he's a tough matchup for safeties, obviously linebackers in the passing game. You may force a substituted defense, which then allows you the ability to run the ball in that instance too. So, you know, going back to where I came from, even at Penn State, but obviously New England, had some tight ends that forced other teams to play nickel, play dime on normal down and distances. And that helped us in the running game. We're not there yet. You know, I don't know if we have that yet, but we're working towards trying to mold that type of tight end situation.
How much different does Jalen Strong look for you now in year two then as opposed to year one?
Yeah, I just said to him today, how far he's come. You know, he's a guy that a year ago today, you know, I was concerned about him. You know, from a conditioning standpoint, I just didn't know what type of condition he was in. It wasn't very good, and he really – at some point in time, early in training camp or before training camp, actually came back and passed the conditioning test and really took off after that and contributed in some games last year, had a really good offseason. He's in really good shape. He's playing well, so hopefully it continues. He's a guy that we're definitely counting on.
You're incorporating an
– Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. You're incorporating.
See, I'm in a better mood today.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was my kids' Little League team had lost the night before last week.
Is that right?
Yeah, in the West U playoffs, so I was still despondent about that when I came in here and saw you guys. It was nothing against you guys.
Good to hear.
I actually love you guys.
You're incorporating a lot of wide receivers in the offense this year. What are the different elements of things that you're looking at when watching their development?
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about that. You have different guys. Some guys like Hopkins who have been in our system now going on 3 years that know where to line up in every position. You have those guys like Mumphrey and Jalen that are going into year two that are really bright receivers, and you can use them in different ways too. And then you have your rookies in Will and Braxton and, you know, a guy like Wendell Williams, you know, who's been out there doing some good things. So there are kind of three different groups of guys. Cecil Shorts, who's going into year two, but he's a veteran player, knows our system real well. So there are different I want to say standards in the fact that, you know, hey, look, we don't expect Will Fuller and Braxton Miller to know where to line up and run the exact route in every single position, but we do expect them to know the positions that we're starting them out in, and they're doing a good job with that. Whereas Hopkins, you know, there's a very, very high standard for him and moving him around and asking him to do a lot of different things, and that's what we're trying to do. So different strokes for different folks a little bit at that position.
Bill, your quarterbacks are at different stages of their careers, and they're also at different stages of knowing this offense. Do they work well together because of that mix? Are they helping each other?
Yeah, I would say that this is a really good room. These guys, you know, they're here, Wex, at 6 in the morning. You know, they come in on their own, all three of them, with different questions from the film from the day before or something that they studied over the weekend for myself or George Godsey. So these guys work really well together. It's a good room. They're good teammates. You know, to this point, as far as what we're doing, where we're at, the stage that we're at in the offseason, I've been impressed with how that room works together.
Bill, could you talk about Akeem Hunt?
Sure.
You know, he flashed a little bit last year. Is he where you want him to be at this point?
He's a lot farther along than he was last year. You know, we brought him in a little bit later on, and, you know, he's got really good speed. He's a very hard worker. He's a guy that we used a little bit in the passing game last year. He's helping us. You can see where he's trying to contribute more on special teams. He's got a little role that we're trying to use him in and on offense as far as receiving back, but also being able to run the football too. So I think our backfield situation is a pretty good one right now as far as different types of players there, all having different types of skill sets from, you know, Lamar, Alfred, you know, Grimesy. You've got Akeem, you've got Kenny Hilliard, so you have a lot of different types of backs there, and Akeem's doing a good job.